Hello and welcome to the latest edition of the Uses Better podcast, powered by Hubs.
Welcome to another edition of our podcast, and today I am joined by Matthew Giles. So Matthew is heading up the Liverpool Architecture Festival that's running currently in Liverpool, surprisingly. So first things first, Matthew, do you want to give us a little bit of an intro into who you are and what you do?
Certainly. Hi, David. Hello, everybody. My name is Matthew Giles. I'm a co-founding director of MGMA Architects here in Liverpool. I came to Liverpool in 2000 to study and have stayed here, so 24 years nearly in the city. And we're going to talk today a little bit about, yeah, Liverpool Architecture Festival, Liverpool Architecture Foundation, and just a little bit about the ambitions for the festival, its activities, and what we're going to try and achieve over the future.
So, Matt, when did the Liverpool Architecture Foundation start?
So, Liverpool Architecture Foundation was formerly called Liverpool Young Architects. It was formed by a collection of enthusiastic committee members, Darren, Joe, Martin, Owen and Alison, I believe, back in about 2015-16, where they wanted to create an environment that connected the two architectural schools that we've got in here at the University of Liverpool and Liverpool John Moores University, and practice. And for it to be a forum for discussion, socializing, and education, basically, just to make sure that bridge connection between academia and practice was as seamless as it could be. So I joined that in about 2018-19 and, you know, worked with the committee for a couple of years before taking over as president in October 2020 due to people moving away from the city, COVID hitting obviously in March that year, and Darren rescinding the presidential position to me. And during COVID, it was interesting to see how the type of events, the type of engagement, the people that are engaging with Liverpool Young Architects developed. We widened our spectrum significantly through the you know, the power of the online forums, Teams, Meets, Zoom, and alike, to get us speaking to a wider audience. That meant that we were able to collaborate with MVRDV, a significant practice in the Netherlands, the French government, and discussing the use of timber construction with them. And basically just it widened our audience and widened our spectrum and just gave us a little bit of a boost in terms of the possible with the introduction of the technology and almost like the forced online. Through the development of the Liverpool Young Architects and its growing audience, although the Y in Liverpool Young audience, the young, was included to be inclusive, it was actually excluding quite a few people attending to our events, because actually the audience was a bit more diverse. And particularly as I was approaching 40, you know, one is only as young as they feel, I guess. But we had to ditch the Y. So we rebranded as Liverpool Architecture Foundation, which we felt was a more inclusive move, certainly for people that weren't involved in the built environment, but for those that were involved in architecture, it was inclusive also. It was also really lazy branding in terms of the fact that the acronym is the same for both Liverpool Architecture Foundation and Liverpool Architecture Festival, which developed later.
So you create this foundation, you're getting interest from people not only in the UK, in Europe, obviously with the French government. You're looking at different sort of materials and how timber's used and all this sort of stuff. What sort of led you to then go, actually, let's run a festival?
So out of bad things, sometimes good things come out of it. And just over 7 years ago, my mother passed away. And that got me leading to think about my legacy and what I'm leaving behind. As architects, we individually work on projects which involve places where people live, work, play, pray. But we don't necessarily look at architecture and the built environment as a whole in terms of having an impact on people's lives 24/7. And the idea of the festival was to encourage architects initially, and then people more involved in the built environment, to come together to form a celebration of architecture which would then create a collective legacy that we could hand over in a few years. So the idea was to get practices, universities, local authorities, eventually clients, other consultants, engineers, urban designers, planners, and the like, to participate in this festival, thus increasing the awareness and the importance of it, therefore bringing architects and architecture to the top of the agenda when procuring buildings and building services. It seems like over the past couple of decades that architects themselves have seen themselves fall down the ladder a little bit in terms of the priority of delivering buildings and making space and improving the built environment. And I think that notwithstanding the internal wranglings of, you know, fee decreases and the increase of design and build and the fall in traditional procurement, which is really key in delivering the best space and the best buildings, I felt like we needed to come together as a city of architects to try and galvanize the local industry to then move forwards together rather than just fighting our own battles. So the aim of that over the next 20 years is to build up the festival and to hand it over to the people of Liverpool City Region as that combined legacy.
When you look at that, I mean, I'm going to presume that you you started off with your first event being quite small, and then you've seen that progression. So what sort of numbers we were talking when you first set this out in events, and then where we are now with it?
The first festival in 2021 was originated during COVID still. So we were just coming out of it and people were reasonably hesitant to participate at first. The first festival was created to, it was titled Architecture for Architects, which put a few people's noses out of joint because they wanted to be included in it. But really the aim was to provocate people into participating from an architectural point of view. There's absolutely no point in having an architecture festival if the architects aren't willing to participate, proved not to be the case. They turned up in their droves, actually. So in October 21, we did 12 events, which included a design charrette, walking tours, and a couple of building tours, and a one night exhibition sort of pop up. And we had on those 12 events, over 600 people attended. That then gave us real confidence. With that first festival, we had backing from organisations such as REBA, Hobbs, the local authorities, Liverpool City Region Combined Authority got involved. And the aim of the festival was always to be for the main benefit of local people, to increase the level of the built environment. And so with that, I went to and approached local businesses that had their main headquarters here and were involved in the employment of people in the city region, but also they would see the benefit, and their staff and their teams would see the benefit of an increased level of quality in the built environment. So that proved really beneficial, actually, in terms of getting people on at the ground floor rather than just going to a multinational asking for a big check and then for it to be soulless. I think that this really key that any festival and any event that happens in the city region is by the people, for the people. And that's something that a thread that we've been continuing with. So from that first festival, we hit the ground running, really. The feedback was really good and people wanted more. So we decided to, rather foolishly, to do one quite quickly again, 10 months after, in June the following year. Couple of reasons behind that. Firstly, to build the momentum from the first festival, but also it's a downright warmer in June than it is in October. Although you wouldn't realize it with the current weather that we've had, but it's at least less windy, and I don't get blown down the Strand with the torch signs that we have to carry around with us. So in terms of those activities, we increased it, basically. We increased we more than doubled the event to 25, and we nearly doubled the attendance to over 1,000 people. I think it was just over 1,100 people that attended. And this time we did open it up to the wider general public to attend. And it was interesting noting who was involved and who was stumbling upon this, because as you can imagine, we do have very humble budgets and very humble resources being a volunteer mm-hmm. organization at the moment. So leading from that, that then led to the incorporation of Liverpool Architect Foundation into a community interest company. We felt that the ambition of the festival, the ambition of the foundation, really needed solidifying. And so we did that by incorporating LAF in January 23. And that saw myself, Lizzie and Fionn become directors. And then we work with a dedicated voluntary committee. And that then led us to have the ability to deliver the festival in 24, the current edition. What I would say is as well that notwithstanding the festival, LAF actually delivers all year round events, ranging from free to all of the events are free to attend. I should have said that at the beginning, but yeah, Everything's free that we offer, whether it's a walking tour, a symposium, young people events. It's really important that we make this as accessible as possible to everybody. Architects pay an awful lot for their own accreditations and what have you. And I think it's important that they feel, regardless of practice, size, location, and what have you, that it's free to attend for them. But it's really important when engaging with the local, with the public, that they feel that it's for them. So as well as the CPD, we offer walking tours, building tours, symposiums, design charrettes. We do events in the summer for young people, and they're all free to attend, which is essential for attracting people from all different locations and demographics. So leading on to the third festival, we actually had a gap here in 2023, not least because we needed a break with us being a voluntary organisation. I got married in 23, but also the Art Biennial emerged again from COVID and is a significant Liverpool cultural anchor in the calendar. It's it draws, you know, over 100,000 people. It's a real asset to Sam and the team there that have built that up over the past 25 years. And that got us thinking a little bit in terms of the term cultural anchor. We think that given the architectural heritage in Liverpool City region, we feel that the Liverpool Architecture Festival can become the complementary cultural anchor in the region to the Art Biennial. If they're delivering their festival, their biennial, on the odd years, our ambition is to develop Liverpool Architecture Festival to be the mirror in the mirror to that in the even years. And it's really starting to develop into that. And it got us thinking about collaboration with other arts organisations, other community groups to accelerate our growth. So on the back of that realisation of the ambition that this could be Liverpool, a complementary cultural anchor to the Art Biennial, we decided to make it every 2 years. And with that, we also considered collaborating with other arts and community organisations to accelerate the growth of the festival. Now, the growth between 12 events to 25 is decent, and 600 people to 1,000 is good. But what we decided to do this year in the month of June was deliver over 100 events and try and engage with over 5,000 people. In order to do that, we not only offered our staple calendar program of walking tours, building tours, cycle tours, but we also started to really roll out the engagement with young people. We thought that it was important to do fun things like continue the Race the Architect event that we run with the Lego store in Liverpool. That's basically where we get young people to build a tower as quickly as they can in 60 seconds and against an architect or an architecture student, and get young people engaging with architects at a young age. It's not necessarily just to drive forwards, you know, to showcase architects on their own, but just the fact that a career in working in the built environment, whether it is an urban designer or a planner, an architect, an engineer, it's just making sure that they think that it's accessible to them. there's a lot of talk about social mobility in this country, which I think is over-egged. I don't think it's that easy to achieve social mobility necessarily. But I think that young people generally go after things that they see. And if we can connect them to possibilities in their future careers, I think that's a really important aspect of the future of Liverpool City Region, to just make sure everybody, however young, feels like the built environment's for them and then they can engage with it.
Yeah. I mean, just sort of to unpick a few points, so you make some really sort of value points on that when you were saying about what you've been doing. And I suppose, you know, the one thing for me is about actually, you know, we see a lot of events, we see everybody doing stuff without actually having a reason behind doing them, I think. I think that's what sort of hit me about what you're doing with the LAF is the fact that, you know, you are doing these acts deliberately to target younger people, to target people who may not have considered architecture as a career, potentially, and get them excited about it. Because I know that, you know, speaking of my own sort of experience, you know, I never really looked at architecture as a slight career for myself. But I know there are people out there that are getting more and more. I suppose with the advent of not only stuff like Lego, I mean, Lego is probably one of the foundations for every, I suppose, architect's dream of actually trying to build something, because it is a practical thing where you can put things together. But also we've seen technology drive that with, you know, stuff like Minecraft, I suppose, where you've got to start creating these environments and that, and then looking at how it all links together. Does that play a part in it?
Yeah, very much so. And it's interesting that you bring up technology. And one of our main drivers for building numbers wasn't actually to go down the technological route. The theme of this festival was neighbourhood. And that was purely because we see this as an inclusive festival, and that it was really important to us to get out into the boroughs surrounding Liverpool as part of Liverpool City Region and take the festival to people. It's really easy to do a Liverpool City centric festival orientated around the historic waterfront, you know, the historic Dale Street, Castle Street, Water Street, you know, historic downtown of Liverpool. You know, you could fill a calendar easily with that. But if we are to grow this and we're serious about getting people involved and communities involved, we have to go out to Sefton, Knowsley, Holton, St Helens, Wirral, and other districts within Liverpool, and take the festival to them. One interest, just building on the Lego workshops we've done. We started last year as a test run last summer, an activity called Sand Cities, where we go to the local beaches in the city region, of which there are more than people would think if they're not from the city region. And we do pop-up sandcastle building competitions where we ask young people to design a city themselves, give it a theme, design a flag, and then tell us about it as a mini critique with like a small judging panel. And it's incredible how confident, you know, a seven-year-old is talking about their Paw Patrol Sand City with their flag that they've designed, and what castle is for what, and where they work, where they play. And it's really good in terms of that live engagement. People are outside, they, you know, you can feel the wind in your face. We have to keep competitive dads at a distance.
I was going to say that's probably the challenge, is keeping the parents away from going, I want to build my castle bigger than yours.
We have to be careful with that, and we do insist that the young people present, notwithstanding the enthusiasm from the parents and guardians. But that's a really good fun aspect. But it's, yeah, just coming back to the technological side, you're right, the introduction of Minecraft, I mean, back in the day it was kind of like Sims and stuff like that for us growing up. But yeah, Minecraft and technology, I think we have to be careful with technology. I think that it's a great aid, it's a great tool for design, but it doesn't necessarily originate. So with that in mind, we've got Instagram, we've got a website, we've got a bit of augmented reality that we're starting to introduce to our events. But it was really important that post-COVID, that we draw people out of their homes and encourage them to get off their screens and experience, you know, the wonders that the built environment can deliver. For example, there's no way that virtual reality can get anywhere in its near an experience of you standing in a cathedral on a sunny day, feeling the sun on your back whilst you're looking at the light coming through a stained glass window. Mm. I mean, it's, you know, you kind of get, you get goosebumps when you're in these environments, but technology can't get near the experience of, you know, getting your umbrella blown inside and out when you're walking down the historic waterfront, being told about the history of the dry docks and the historic Albert Dock. So there are pros and cons to both, I guess. But the idea really is to get people out and engaged in person, away from phones, and looking up in their own neighbourhood and local events for them to recognise that there are gems. The architecture is important about where they live, work, sleep, play and pray. And that we get people connected to their own communities rather than thinking that architecture is only the historic waterfront that we have here in Liverpool.
So we've got, you know, a really successful Elliot 24. You mentioned before that you could do this biannually. So I'm presuming that you're already now starting to think about LAF 26. So where would you like to see LAF 26 going, and what sort of legacy would you like to see that leave, not only for Liverpool, but is there ways you can expand that across the country, for example? Could it become a national thing rather than just a Liverpool thing?
One thing that I haven't mentioned just yet is the upscale in the festival to try and get the numbers of engagement that we've been talking about. Not only are we going out to the neighbourhoods and in different community areas and throughout the boroughs, but for the first time, we've actually got a pop-up home in the city centre. We've been working with a couple of organisations to inhabit a vacant commercial unit on the ground floor of Dale Street here in Liverpool city centre. Mm-hmm. Where we've got the where we're hosting the architecture showcase, and that basically is an exhibition of over 25 architectural practices displaying drawings, models, photographs of work that they have done or they're doing at the moment, to give people a little look behind the curtain of the type of work that architects do. And with that, we offer young people activities, so Lego building, building block building, colouring in, those sorts of activities, where people can just learn and engage a little bit more with the program that we've got to offer. With that upscaling that I'll get to in a sec, we've also partnered with Dot Art Gallery and Open Eye Gallery in Liverpool City Centre. That's allowed us to engage with a completely different audience of creative people that we hadn't had access to previously. So prior to the festival, we undertook an art and photography competition. And then with a prize giving at the end, actually exhibited and are exhibiting throughout June and with Dot Art through to the mid-August, the works that were entered. So rather than it being an architect, you know, like I said, with the first festival, that being an architecture for architects festival, a way that we've gone about this one is collaborating with other organisations that are already doing great work to expand our audience to people that are already looking at the built environment. But it's an excuse for them to look at it in a different way with a brief set of neighborhood. And even that threw up it's interesting outcomes in the way that people look at their neighborhood in a different way. That's seeing our numbers really grow and really sort of, really accelerate. In terms of 26, interestingly, we're going to take a little bit of time to reflect on the back of this festival. Normally, we try to rush getting a brochure published. We try and get all the figures out and what have you before the end of the festival so that our closing party, there's something to hand out. Yeah. I think this has turned into something where we need to reflect on the engagement that we've made, what has been successful, what hasn't been as successful as we think it would. How can we change that? But ultimately, the aim for 26 is to probably do quite a similar program of what we've done before with a different theme at its center, but aim for 16,000 people. Wow. 16,000 people is 1% of the population of Liverpool City Region. And I think as soon as we start talking about percentages of population, I think heads start turning and eyebrows start raising a little bit more about who we're engaging with and how we're doing that. In terms of how people would like to participate, I think really we are, you can just Google Liverpool Architecture Festival or Foundation. We're on LinkedIn. We're on Instagram. We've got an engaging website. People can sign up for newsletters. But I'm happy to talk to anybody that's wanting to set this up in their own backyard, really. I think that one of the things that might come from this is LAF setting up a toolkit for other cities, other towns that have architectural interest, or maybe they don't, and they're looking at trying to facilitate that and trying to get people engaged more with the built environment, because our network of collaborators will only be reflected in other places around the country, just with different names. Mm-hmm. And so I'd welcome anybody that wanted to get in touch about learning more about LAF, whether you want to partner, support, participate, or maybe just do it in your own backyard, whether that's, you know, Plymouth, Chelmsford, or, you know, Beverley, regardless of where you are around the country.
Yeah, brilliant. So to close this off, I've got my killer question that I've asked everybody on our podcast this coming year. That is, what's the best bandits in life?
I've given this quite a lot of deliberation, and I've been quite fortunate to see. In fact, this, you know, notwithstanding my wafflings earlier, this is by far the hardest question I've had to answer. But Faithless in about 2006 at Liverpool University Guildhall was banging. It was, I think, on the back of their Outrospective album, and it was, it was awesome to have a group that size in a space as humble as that. The room was jumping, and it was it was excellent. But
that would have been amazing. And to be fair, like, that wasn't the band I was expecting you to say. I don't know why, but I didn't expect you to be a Faithless fan. But that's what everything's different. So. Good, that's great. Actually, to be fair, that would have been a really good gig. I've no doubt about that whatsoever. Brilliant. So, Matthew, thanks for your time today. It's been a pleasure, always is. I'll echo what you said earlier, that anybody who's listening to this, if you want to organise something similar to what Matthew's doing in Liverpool, then please get in touch. We'll share all the details from having contact Matthew and the festival itself on our channels. So. Good luck with it, and good luck in the future. I mean, it's a brilliant event that you're running. I love the way that you're getting the kids involved in it, because that's always positive for the future generations. It's just an all-round good thing and a great way to start a new series. So thank you for your time, Matthew. It's always good.
Thanks very much for having me on. It's I hope that's been constructive to people and is interesting to the listeners. And as David said, if you any questions about it, I'd love to love to have conversations about the ambitions of the festival and what we're trying to achieve. So thanks for your time.
Brilliant. And so everyone listening, then if you want to get involved, you know our usual addresses and emails and stuff. So please drop a line and get involved. So again, thanks again, Matthew, and I'll see you all next time.